Contemporary Breast Cancer Treatment Associated Thrombosis. Breast cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women, accounting for a quarter of all cancer cases worldwide. This equates to about 2.3 million women being diagnosed in 2020, with age-standardized incidence rates continuing to increase worldwide. Globally, age-standardized mortality rates are decreasing, with, for example, only 40% of women surviving for 10 years in the UK in 1970, whereas by 2010, 78.4% were surviving for 10 years. Approximately 8 million women are currently alive worldwide following a breast cancer diagnosis within the previous 5 years. There have also been enormous improvements in metastatic breast cancer care, with 5-year survival rate for women in first world countries of about 25 to 28%, with the median survival increasing by 80% from 1990 to 2010. The vast majority of cancers are associated with increased risk of venous thromboembolism compared to the normal population, and breast cancer is no exception. Compared to normal controls, cancer patients have an 8- to 9-fold risk of venous thromboembolism within a year of cancer diagnosis, and VTE in the presence of cancer is associated with 3-fold risk of death. However, the risk of VTE with breast cancer is much lower than other cancers, with breast cancer being in the bottom quartile of cancers if cancer type is ranked by cancer-associated thrombosis frequency, with, for example, pancreatic cancer thrombosis being 10 times more common and lung, brain and upper GI thrombosis about 4 or 5 times more common than breast cancer-associated thrombosis. But as breast cancer is so common, still many women develop cancer-associated thrombosis during breast cancer treatment. And in fact, almost 20% of all cancer-associated thromboses are breast cancer-associated thromboses because breast cancer is so common. And this can severely impact on women's quality of life and even survival, even through death from VTE or through subsequent suboptimal cancer treatment. Indeed, the negative impact of breast cancer on survival is ironically most pronounced in early stage disease, being associated with a 2-year risk of death being doubled in metastatic breast cancer, but increased by 5-fold in local disease, which reflects the otherwise excellent prognosis of breast cancer. So venous thromboembolism and breast cancer can really impact on quality of life in women who otherwise will do brilliantly. The risk of venous thromboembolism is greatest around the time of diagnosis of primary or metastatic disease, with, for example, rate of venous thromboembolism within the first 6 months of a new diagnosis being double that in the second 6 months. This implies that breast cancer treatment is instrumental in the development of breast cancer-associated thrombosis. As with other cancers, venous thromboembolism risk increases with age, with, for example, a hazard ratio for venous thromboembolism for metastatic breast cancer of 6 and locoregional breast cancer of 2 compared to cancer localised to the breast only. However, this is undoubtedly be partly a reflection of the more aggressive, intensive or extended treatments that are associated with increasing breast cancer stage. The incidence of breast cancer-associated thrombosis has almost doubled from 1997 to 2005, corresponding with increasing survival, changes in treatment, particularly chemotherapy and targeted therapies, and improving imaging and awareness of venous thromboembolism. In terms of early breast cancer, treatment is intended to be curative whilst minimising harm. The mainstay of breast cancer is surgery, with adjuvant or neoadjuvant treatments commonly including endocrine therapy, radiotherapy, chemotherapy and targeted therapies. Although surgical techniques for breast cancer are becoming more complex in terms of oncoplastic procedures, including reconstruction, breast cancer is still relatively atraumatic, for example, with no internal body cavity dissection. The risk of venous thromboembolism is double within 1 month of breast surgery. However, VTE rates are still low at less than 1%, except possibly with flap-based reconstruction where the risks are maybe 1.2 to 1.4%. This very small risk needs to be balanced against the significant risk of bleeding, with in general hematoma that requires reoperation occurring in about 2% of patients, irrelevant of anticoagulation. One of the challenges is that there are no risk assessment scores such as Caprini for informing VTE prophylaxis to the lower risk nature of breast cancer surgery compared to other solid tumours. So there is a very real need for breast cancer specific risk assessment tools for surgery. With regard to chemotherapy, breast cancer patients receiving chemotherapy have an estimated 11-fold increased risk of venous thromboembolism compared to those not receiving chemotherapy, with this risk maintained for at least 3 months. Increasingly, we are delivering breast cancer chemotherapy, particularly in higher stage disease, in the neoadjuvant setting. This means patients are undergoing surgery only 3 to 6 weeks after completion of chemotherapy. Surgery performed within 2 weeks of chemotherapy is associated with an almost 5-fold increased risk of venous thromboembolism compared to upfront surgery. And similar to surgery, risk scores for chemotherapy-induced VTE, such as Carana, were developed in mixed solid tumour population. The cancer site is heavily weighted in these, and as breast cancer is particularly low risk for venous thromboembolism compared to other tumours used in the development of those tools may well lack discriminatory ability in breast cancer, because as far as I'm aware, they have not been tested in the pure breast population. Indeed, these scores have only 4 criteria unrelated to cancer site. So for a breast cancer patient to be categorised as high risk, they'd have to score in 3 out of 4 of these. Now turning to endocrine therapy, approximately 75% of breast cancers are estrogen receptor positive and can be treated with endocrine therapy. Selective estrogen receptor modulators such as tamoxifen are used in premenopausal women, and aromatase inhibitors such as anastrozole, letrozole and exemestane are primarily used in postmenopausal women. Tamoxifen for breast cancer in both women and men is associated with an up to 7-fold increased risk of venous thromboembolism, with this risk exacerbated by concurrent chemotherapy. So this is in part why adjuvant chemotherapy is given prior to commencement of endocrine therapy. The endocrine therapy associated risk of thrombosis is very front loaded and seems to be greatest within the first 3 months of commencing tamoxifen, with a hazard rate of over 5 compared to pre-treatment. However, the risk is ongoing, and this has been demonstrated by switch adjuvant breast cancer trials, where one tamoxifen arm gets switched to an aromatase inhibitor after 2 years and the other stays on tamoxifen, with the risk remaining double in the tamoxifen arm compared to aromatase inhibitors. And even in the preventative setting where there is no breast cancer, tamoxifen is associated with an approximately 2-fold increased risk of venous thromboembolism. Aromatase inhibitors are associated with a 50% lower risk of venous thromboembolism compared to tamoxifen, which actually may equate to not being thrombogenic at all. However, the only trials of aromatase inhibitors versus no treatment are in the preventative setting, again where there's no presence of cancer. And here, anastrozole had an equivalent risk of VTE compared to placebo. The need to stop tamoxifen in the perioperative setting is quite unclear. Given that an endocrine therapy break is unlikely to have significant negative oncological impact, it does seem sensible to stop tamoxifen, especially if there are other risk factors for venous thromboembolism, such as obesity, age, and particularly thrombogenic surgeries, such as, for example, hip and knee replacement. In terms of adjuvant other treatments, bisphosphonates are used to mitigate against the osteoporotic effects of aromatase inhibitors or as an adjunct to endocrine therapy to prevent or treat bone metastases. And there is actually some evidence to suggest an association with venous thromboembolism. However, this is weak. Targeted treatment is an enormous area of interest and success in breast cancer. In only 20 years, the development of targeted anti-HER2 therapy has revolutionised HER2-positive breast cancer, which makes up about 15% of breast cancers. HER2-directed therapy effectively now negates the negative prognostic impact of HER2-positive disease. And although precise published results are economical with venous thromboembolism data, there doesn't appear to be any hint of thrombogenic effect with anti-HER2 therapy. Apart from anti-HER2 targeted therapies, the new game changers for breast cancer treatment are CDK4/6, PD-L1 immune checkpoint and PARP inhibitors, and possibly mTOR and tyrosine kinase inhibitors. To date, the only targeted therapy that appears to be associated with VTE is CDK4/6 inhibitors, where there seems to be a class effect, with a meta-analysis suggesting a 2.5-fold increased risk of VTE with CDK4/6 inhibitors in breast cancer treatment. Although two studies report an association between radiotherapy and venous thromboembolism, neither report the site of radiotherapy treatment. And clearly, radiotherapy for brain and pelvic bone mets will have a very different VTE effect than chest wall adjuvant radiotherapy. So I personally suspect that the prothrombotic effects of radiotherapy in breast cancer are limited to specific high-risk anatomical sites. But it's important to recognise that historically there has been a lack of recognition of venous thromboembolism risk by breast cancer by clinicians, particularly relating to breast cancer, because of the relatively perceived low risk in breast cancer. This is potentially exacerbated by the fact that cancer therapy is often delivered in tertiary centres, but an acute thromboembolism is likely to present to a local hospital. So outside of clinical trials, there's still an ongoing risk of underreporting of true rates of breast cancer-associated thrombosis. And I think the real area of research need is developing risk assessment tools that are specific to breast cancer.